We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. The Kansas City Chiefs have moved up one spot in the second round. They are officially on the clock, moving one spot back. They're just continuing to trade with rivals. They traded with the Buffalo Bills, and now they have traded up one spot with the San Francisco 49ers. They are, there's been a small run on tackles here. You kind of wonder if maybe that's a route that this team is looking to take. I'm kind of curious what the compensation wound up being for this selection.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are on the board looking to make a pick. They have, all right, so wow. They have traded 63 and 211, or no, the Chiefs are acquiring 63 and 211, giving up 64 and 173. So they're doing the pick swap thing, but they are moving. Like, that's a big move for one.
Yeah, but that
spot
was still a six round pick, correct?
Yeah,
six round pick that they gave
six
up.
Round pick swap to move up.
Yeah,
that's just interesting.
Brett said that he didn't like the depth in this class, and then yet here he is continuing.
He keeps trading back to add more depth
back slightly.
I was sitting here looking at this. I just wanted to say, like, we talked about Kingsley Suamataea as being a target here. 42nd overall on the consensus board. That's pretty high up there for this value. Troy Franklin, still available. The Chiefs already took a wide receiver, but he's 39th.
And Maddie, we have the pick.
Sure.
Yes. Oh. With the 63rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs have selected offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataea out of BYU. Maddie Lane, quick thoughts on Kingsley Suamataea.
I mean, Kingsley Suamataea is a super athletic offensive tackle that kind of fits the length, the size thresholds that the Kansas City Chiefs like in the position. He's a super athletic guy. He needs some development, but with experience playing on the right side, the left side, you 100% get this pick. He has the power. He has the explosion. He can play out in space. He fits all the criteria for a good tackle in the NFL. It's just there needs some work that needs to be done to get him there, and you kind of have to trust Andy Reid and Andy Heck, who are great offensive line coaches, to get him to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Athletic, developmental, going to be able to play in a zone scheme, going to be able to get out and run. You know, he's got really terrific movement ability, can really drop into a pass set pretty quickly there. Doesn't have a ton of experience dropping into those pass sets, but the true ones that we do see from that, he does look really good getting into there. You are gambling on a guy with terrific footwork, good athletic ability, and length. Those are things that Andy Reid absolutely covets out of every single one of his offensive tackles, and fits in a lot of the schematic aspects of it with a little growth as an offensive tackle.
A former top 25 prospect in college football, yeah, as a recruit. So he started his career at Oregon, winds up going back closer to home to play for BYU. He's played on the right side, played on the left side. The Chiefs had him in for a top 30 visit, and turns out that mattered this time. The Chiefs feel comfortable taking Kingsley Suamataea, a player that allowed zero sacks in 2022, a pass protector that potentially could maybe play on both sides of the ball or both sides of the line a little bit if they need. Love the pick. I think this is a really great value here at 63 for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we are sitting here, and the Chiefs have now taken, I think, what we've all considered the two biggest needs off the board.
I would agree.
And so they've knocked out their two most important positions, I think, when you're walking into this draft. And we've had these conversations. We've looked into, like, how can this team navigate the board to walk away with great value at wide receiver and at tackle? And understandably, there is a little bit of people split on the development of a Kingsley Suamataia. Like we said, Daniel Jeremiah has him down in the 120s. We had him significantly higher in the KCSN draft guide. We kind of perceive him as a more worthy developmental swing and someone that can be a good contributor sooner rather than later. The Chiefs do a fantastic job here, I think, just making sure that they're locking up both of their key needs. So I think this is a great pick. I'm really excited about it. Maddie, I think one of the first questions people are going to ask is, like, when you are looking through how the team is going to navigate this board, they take the wide receiver now. They're taking the tackle at 63. This does validate, I think, that this is a developmental type player rather than someone that they may feel comfortable walking in day one and being the starting tackle for this team.
I think so. And, like, it clearly shows you that they liked him and or they had a pool of offensive tackles that they liked, because they did trade up to make sure, they kind of like with Worthy, they traded up to secure that they get that player. So whether it was, you know, maybe it was the tackles that went off the board right before they picked that kind of limited their selection pool or whatever it was, but they liked him enough to trade up for him. But to your point, they didn't see him as like the surefire locked in starter from day one, or they probably would be going up a lot farther to get him. They wouldn't be waiting to see if they can collect him at the end of round two. This is an area you probably start to feel a little bit better. Like, hey, yeah, come day one of camp, you can compete for a starting job, but you don't really get it. You got to go take that and earn it from somebody. And I think the draft slotting here tells you that. And I think that's perfect. That's what he needs. Here's a 21-year-old when the season gets going, 21. Offensive tackle.
He just turned 21 on January 18th. This is a very young prospect.
Yeah. He's super young. 5-star recruit, went to Oregon, started out there before transferring to BYU, played right tackle, switched over to left tackle. He's bounced around from multiple positions, multiple coaching staffs. There's work to be done in his game. He clearly doesn't understand, or not understand, but doesn't have the technicalities locked down yet. But that's what you're going to have to coach in the NFL. So you take this guy that has a super high ceiling, you get him at a value that makes a lot more sense, that where the position and the draft slot align better with how you're going to use him this year. That's going to be two thumbs up for everybody.
Yeah, he was a redshirt sophomore last year.
Yeah.
So an early entry into the draft, does not have a ton of experience in the same way that you would expect some of the other guys. Some of the other guys that we were talking about were much older prospects, had a lot more experience. It shows.
Yeah.
It really does show at times the lack of experience that occurs there. But the traits in themselves are the makings of a franchise left tackle. If Kingsley Suamataia hits his ceiling, he is one of the better offensive tackles in this class, because guys at that size, with his movement ability, with that athleticism, I believe ESPN, after the Chiefs picked him, showed him jumping out of the pool, water that was up to basically right here at his chest. He jumps out of the pool as a huge individual, a 6'4", 326-pound individual here. He's got bloodlines as well. I think that's the other part of this. I subscribe to this theory as well. You get those sort of bloodlines there. His cousins are Penei Sewell and Noah Sewell. Like, these are guys, he's got this history, he's got these bloodlines, got the athletic ability. Again, it's just going to be, when can he start for the Chiefs? So I guess my pivoting question here, are we certain that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to add a veteran offensive tackle to this roster? Or do the Andes turn around here, Maddie and Kent, and say, Wanya Morris versus Kingsley Suamataia? Whoever wins, you're the left tackle this year.
You know, I could see them letting it, you know, not getting too sensitive, but let's call it a death match. Just the left tackle death match of 2024. I could see this team letting two young guys kind of just battle it out, right? The heat is on for Wanya Morris now. We've seen him play left tackle capably for stretches, maybe not perfect, but if you feel comfortable about the other four positions on your offensive line, this is a good place to step in and give a young left tackle an opportunity and get some protection and get some help from the scheme, from the coaching staff. This is now, though, two offensive tackles that, you know, Andy Heck has to develop and has to, you know, get his hands on. I don't know. I could see them trying to ride it out. I think we'd all feel a little bit less comfortable with that. But I wouldn't be stunned if that was the route that this team ultimately took.
I think that they should still bring in a veteran. I think that you want to have somebody that can come in and provide you a safe floor. Like, I think even just the way Andy Reid spoke about it, what Wanya Morris was able to do last year, and what we saw when Wanya Morris, as his snap size increased, as the sample size increased for him, it was getting, and not that things won't get better, but it was getting increasingly farther away from the level that Donovan Smith had given you up to that point and after. And so I think you'd be a little too worried that Sua Mateya, a 21-year-old rookie without a ton of experience playing just left tackle, is going to come in and win that starting role and be in there right away. Or your only other option is Wanya Morris, a guy that, you know, was benched, but lost his starting role to Donovan Smith, who we all didn't love last year. I think that you would feel a little bit more comfortable if there was a veteran that those guys had to beat out. Give a bar, set a bar, and then say you can beat that bar, you start. If you can't, keep working. I don't think Morris did enough to be that bar. I think that would be my concern. I don't think Morris showed us enough to be that bar going into the season. You still got to find someone to set it there.
Yeah, I will say it this way. I think that they probably need a little bit higher, you know, basically level playing field there. But at the same time, I don't know that I want to stifle the growth of a Wanya Morris or a Kingsley Suamataya. Now, if you told me that they were going to take Wanya Morris, now all of a sudden they're going to say, okay, cool, we like what we got out of you. Thank you so much for your efforts this year. Let's move you inside. Let's start getting you reps inside, maybe as a right guard or something like that. You know, coming off of Oklahoma, played at right tackle. Not saying he can't play tackle, but maybe they look at him a little bit more as a guard. They've certainly done that with offensive tackles that they've drafted. Darian Kennard jumps to mind there. Maybe a guy that they see more comfortable moving inside. Now, all of a sudden, it paves the way. A Don Smith showing up there with a Kingsley Suamataya. You can still use Wanya Morris in a specific way there. I would just be very concerned about really squashing the developmental arc of one or both of the, you know, young tackles there if you brought in a Donovan Smith and both of them were still playing offensive tackle for you.
The Chiefs brought Kingsley Suamataya in for one of their 30 visits this year. There's obviously some BYU connections that, you know, exist between Andy Reid and that program and Andy Reid and BYU players. Even Steve Sarkisian, they talk about the connection that Steve Sarkisian had with Andy Reid, BYU ties there as well. So, you know, that runs deep, and I think there's lines of communication. We've seen it play out in two picks so far for the Kansas City Chiefs. Was Kingsley a Duke Manyweather guy? Do we know if Kingsley for sure was a Duke Manyweather guy?
I don't know for sure.
I don't know either.
Hey, BJ, you don't know? Okay. I was going to see if BJ...
I will figure it out for you guys.
We should figure that out, because there's been some... Okay. Have fun, Beach. BJ is cutting Kingsley Suamataya highlights as we speak, getting you ready.
He's having a good time.
For a little sizzle reel on him that you'll see on KC Sports Network, make sure you're hitting the like and the subscribe button while you're hanging out with us celebrating the selection of Kingsley Suamataya. This is a player that we talked about being a target potentially for the Chiefs at pick 32.
I did. There was a lot of people that targeted Kingsley Suamataya at pick 32 because they make the logical leap with BYU and Andy Reid as well.
Yes.
They need an offensive tackle as well, but the Chiefs were interested in this guy. Clearly, we're interested in this guy.
You've heard a lot of connections between the Chiefs and Kingsley, and there's a lot of logical sense there. If you stack stacking this last few group of tackles, Blake Fisher, Patrick Paul going off the board, Roger Rosengard, and Kingsley Suamataya, there's a world where I could see Kingsley have gone earlier than 64. It's just like, what all these tackles, what all these teams are valuing is tackle 8 or whatever we want to call it, 7, 8, whatever you want to call it. There's a world where Kingsley's tackle 7 for maybe even the Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs valued Kingsley above some of these players, but
yeah, maybe they did.
You know, but yeah, I think getting him down here at 63 is pretty good value. But Matt, you're ready to cook. I can tell.
I just say I don't think that he is one of the offensive linemen that is working out with Duke Mannyweather.
Okay.
I can't say for certain, but I can't see anything that has... Oh, wait, hold on. No, he is preparing for the draft. Okay, maybe he is. It's hard to say because he's working with 18 guys, and he wasn't somebody that Duke brought up in an article when he was talking with Dane Brugler around the Shrine Bowl time. So he wasn't mentioned in there, but it does sound like he has told people he's at least done some work down there with Duke Mannyweather at bare minimum. So I think he has worked out with him a little bit. We know the Chiefs like that, right? Like, we know the Chiefs are big fans of guys that have worked out with Duke Mannyweather down there. They seem to trust the process that they are going through. So that's a good start. That's a good start. Get him down there. You're working on it. You know he's getting these things done. He's getting better as you go from college to the pros. These guys are kind of hitting the ground at a level the Chiefs like. We've seen the success come through with a Trey Smith, with a Creed Humphrey. Like, we've seen that success directly carry over. Now, we can also say we've also seen it maybe not have the results you want with the guys like a Darian Kennard or a Wandia Morris. Like, they still, those guys are still developing. They're still working through some of the process, but the Chiefs at least still keep going back to the well. There's a comfort level there. Mm-hmm. So if he isn't working down there a lot, he does make a lot of sense. And I think he's a guy that's been connected to the Chiefs for months now because he makes so much sense for him.
I mean, this is a guy that when we finished up the draft yesterday, they take Xavier Worthy. I think all of us sat here and went, yeah, no, pick 64, if the Chiefs are able to walk away with a Patrick Paul or a Kingsley Suamataya, those are the two names that I think that everybody had thrown around a lot, we were going to be excited. Now, obviously, they don't quite make it to pick 64. They had to trade up to pick 63 to make this happen. But overall, a good move based on what we saw on the board. Again, I believe he was offensive tackle 8 in the KC draft guide.
Somewhere.
And gave him a second round grade at that point. So the right spot for a Kingsley Suamataya to go off the board here goes off to Kansas City.
We're going to take a quick break and we will be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Kansas City Chiefs have traded up one pick with the San Francisco 49ers to select Kingsley Suamataya, the offensive tackle out of BYU. And one other thing I'm kind of looking at a little bit more here as we think about this, and we're talking about conviction, and we're talking about maybe how the tackle board was stacked, and maybe they felt comfortable with the pocket of tackles that were sitting there available for them. What I can tell you, though, is they gave up a lot to move up one spot. So they went from pick 173 to pick 211. So they went from getting from a late fifth to a late sixth to get Kingsley Suamataia. That's actually a value of roughly 5 points to move up one spot in the second round. So they're giving up surplus value. They're kind of giving up roughly the value of like a, you know, of a late sixth round pick to move up. So they felt pretty strongly about making sure that they were getting a Kingsley Suamataia. Well,
it means the 49ers.
You're paranoid to move up one spot. You want this kid.
Yeah, absolutely. It means the 49ers had an offer on the table. Somebody was going to come up and take Kingsley Suamataia. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, buddy.
No, that, I was just going to say, like, I don't think that's too much. Like, we're talking about a pick.
No.
That's essentially what we're talking about. That's the same thing they gave up for Xavier Worthy, essentially, to move up, right? Which was considered one of the 10, you know, most even trades of all time of non-quarterbacks in the first round. That's essentially the same value you give up. Does it seem like a little bit more because we were talking about just one spot at the end of round two? Sure. But I think Craig's point was right. That clearly means the 49ers were shopping this pick around to any team out there that maybe wanted to come up. The Chiefs were probably nervous. Somebody was coming up to get Suamataia. We've been talking about it. They're going to have a pocket of tackles. If he's the last one on there, that's where you got to go with, right? If he was the last one on there, you have to go ahead and make that trade. So I get it. I think it's a little bit much, but I do get the concept of trading up to go get him.
Sure, I do as well. And again, you go and you get your guys. These are premium positions. We're not talking about, you know, oh, they traded up for, you know, a running back or a linebacker or something like that. They are premium positions, and they are young players with lots of developmental arcs. If both of these guys catch a second contract with Kansas City, both of them will have that happen before they are 26. Brett Veach loves projects like this, loves athletic players that are younger, talented players, and now you've added those with wide receiver and offensive tackle. Again, if it's a swing and a miss on like a Kingsley Suamataia, it's not going to really hurt you, but you like the gamble, you like the approach. The approach is very sound.
For sure. They've selected two of the youngest prospects in the entire draft.
At positions of need.
At clear positions of need.
At very valuable positions.
And so there is a trend that we are starting to recognize here.
There's one every year.
With Brett Veach, is there does seem to be more intentionality on taking younger prospects because they did it last year with Felix Anudike Uzomah, another premium position. Mm-hmm. And these are guys that you might be able to give two contracts to because the Chiefs have seemed to be pretty pretty intent on not paying players into their 30s, like almost at all into their 30s. Unless you're Chris Jones. Unless you're a Hall of Fame defensive tackle.
Yep.
The last few years, as they've had some of these early selections, even Leo Chanel, another younger prospect. There's been a lean on some younger prospects here in their early picks, remarkably young. Brandon Coleman has just gone off the board as well, one of Maddie's potential tackle targets, by the way.
We lost a bunch of my guys during this section.
They're flying off the board here.
We lost Renardo Green to the 49ers. I don't know. Are we talking about this?
Not quite yet, but I just saw another tackle guard, whatever you want to call him, coming off the board and just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, which the way this draft has gone so far, like, I mean, it's wild to see these big swings on and a lot of players going. Anyways.
Yeah. The whole draft has been runs of positions, right? The whole thing has been runs on positions, and I think the Chiefs, on both of them, but less so with wide receiver with Xavier Worthy, more felt like they were targeting him as a specific player that they wanted to go up and get. It feels like with Suamataia here, though, they said, hey, this pocket, this realm of tackles that we want is going off the board. These guys that we really like are going off the board. We need to make sure we get one because we don't want to be left on the outside yet again, and so I like the concept there. This is my question that I had posed before, and we don't know where Kingsley's going to be at on their slotting, right? He could be ahead of every offensive tackle for them that went on day two.
And we'll find out.
That's a possibility. However, like, we're now at the point again, this kind of is what happened a few years ago when they took Sky Moore as the wide receiver. They took the final guy in the run of wide receivers. And I'm not saying that's what made him not work out, but there might have been a reason Sky Moore was the final wide receiver in the run. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get the final guy in the tackle run for a reason, and they just did a good job of scouting him. They know it's a good fit. I'm not saying it makes it a bad pick. It's just I think it's worth notable if we see tackle stop coming off the board now, and it feels like they got the last guy of this group, that is something to keep in the back of your mind because they did want to make sure they get it.
We'll get to grades in a second here. Ian Rapoport is reporting that the Chiefs did try to move up in the first round for an offensive tackle. That's something we already knew.
We did know that.
But it is worth, it's just confirmation, additional confirmation that the Chiefs were trying to move up to get an offensive tackle.
And they make Mims.
Yeah, probably Amarius Mims. They make a small one here to make sure that they get one of the tackles that they coveted remaining in this draft. It is time to grade the pick, though. So we will start there. We're going to start with Craig Stout here on your pick for Kingsley Suamataia at pick 63.
It's another A. It's another A for me because it's a young player. It's a talented player. It's a quality mover. The ceiling is high. You're taking him in an appropriate spot where if you have to basically sit on this for a year and say, we are going to develop him behind another veteran, it does not kill your ability to do so. There's no urgency behind any of that. You are hoping that an Andy Heck maximizes this individual, that he gets the most out of him, because if he gets the most out of him, it is an absolute slam dunk. The Chiefs barely moved up. Like, barely moved up. Again, that's a late sixth that they gave up in value. I mean, I give it an A because I just think this is smart decision-making for project tackle as it stands right now, being at pick 63.
Maddie.
For me, I always got to preface this. A C to me is a completely average grade, which means that was exactly the value that you took the player. You got exactly what's expected. So I'm giving this pick a B, which is still good. Like, it's a plus value. I think he went about where I would have him. I had him as a late second round grade. That's where I thought he should go off the board. That's where the Chiefs got him. I do think the small trade up, which it's not insignificant, it's not a ton, but that small trade up, losing essentially a sixth round pick in value, does matter a little bit. But I think the upside's really there. I think you have a lot of development to go. But if you hit it, this is a great pick. I just do think that inherently a developmental tackle that you're taking in late round two, there's going to be risks and rewards to it. That doesn't make it bad. That's what stops it away from, I think, being a little bit higher. But I think it's a good solid B to go along with what was a good first round pick, which I gave like a B+/A-. It's a good draft so far.
I think this is a really great draft so far. And I'm going to give it an A-. I think this is a young, projectable player with a lot of upside. He's coming into a great system and a great infrastructure that should help maximize his strengths. The Chiefs got a guy that, when you talk about the pedigree of a player, he's got, you know, the bloodline. You know, he's got the pedigree as a top-tier college prospect, you know, one of the top, you know, high school recruits out of his class, a top 25 consensus player coming out of high school. He's got some positional flexibility playing on both sides of the ball, and he's really, really young. One of the youngest players, and I think the youngest tackle that's been taken to this point, one of the youngest players in this entire draft. So I think it's an A- for me. I think the Chiefs have done an outstanding job to start this draft, not only addressing their two most important spots. They take the two most the most important positions, two high-value positions with young players that are in a offense and infrastructure that should help them have their strengths exploited and allow them to develop nicely. I'm over the moon with what the Chiefs have done to this point. I think they've crushed it. I'm so happy to see the players that have been selected. These are players that we've spent a lot of time talking about over the last 3 months. That's always fun to happen too. Because there's been years where it hasn't been like that.
Yeah,
2022 was a great year for that. Last year. Anyways, thank you all so much for hanging out with us. The Kansas City Chiefs have selected Kingsley Suamataia with pick 63 in the 2024 NFL Draft and are continuing to have a fantastic draft through the first two rounds of this thing. So thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate all the support you've given us here at KC Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.